the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you, and welcome to another episode of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for podcasting. Thank you for being there. Thank you for the kind things that you say about the show. And also, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for wanting to put this show on your website, a blog, or, you know, just to have it with you all the time. Thank you for that. We're broadcasting. Once again, this is my 157th episode show. I know I have on my website, on Block Talk Radio's website, it says about 57 or 58. That's because my website was getting so clogged up, I had to delete some of my earlier shows. So it's still all good. It's all good. Okay, so today we do have a guest. Her name is, if I can pull up her information here, Rusty McDonald. She is a author, international radio talk show host. That should be thrilling, right? Talk show host to talk show host. Okay. Life coach, mother, of course, motivational speaker, and as mentioned, international radio host. Wow. Rusty comes from a background of severe poverty, abuse, and has also created her own life after a messy divorce. Oh, that's something to talk about. Okay, so we're going to sit around here and just wait for her until she comes on, because that should be very, very interesting. I'm thrilled. I'm totally thrilled. So this is Chicago. This is Chicago once again, and we are still without a budget, a state budget. And it's like a broken record on this show. But this show is based out of Chicago. We have no record. It's affecting us. It's affecting everybody. You know, we got these clowns in office and stuff like that. But let me say something about the weather. The weather, it is cold. It doesn't feel like fall. It feels more like winter or the beginning of winter. And that's the way the weather is in Chicago. I was telling a guest yesterday on the show that every time you turn a corner in the city of Chicago, the weather can change. And that's true. That is true. And you know what? You remember things like summer, fall, winter, and spring. I don't know. These seasons are starting to get all screwed up. You can't tell one from the next now, you know. So maybe this has something to do with climate change or global warming. Or I'm not familiar and I'm not too versed on that because I don't really follow it. But I don't know if I'm a believer or a non-believer. I haven't much thought about it, you know, but a lot of people do, and I respect that. I totally respect that. So it's in Chicago, it is, let's see, 6:04 straight up time. Superman is I can hear the soundtrack of Superman playing on in back of me on the television, the flat screen TV in back of me. And it's 69 degrees. I'm near the lake. Well, it's 69 degrees in Chicago, but usually near the lake, it's a lot cooler. I can even say colder today because it is a mess. Days are getting shorter. That is not a doubt, without a doubt, because I'm sitting right next to the window and I can see straight out onto the boulevard. And I know that the days are getting shorter. And my son was asking me, when are the days going to start getting longer again? I say, hey, wow, I think around January. So for him, he gets up to go to school in the dark, and he's going to be coming home in the dark. So I told him to get ready for that, because that's going to happen, because it happened last year and it happened the year before that and the year before that. So winter's coming, definitely. Winter's coming. And it's crazy that some people are actually thinking about Christmas. Christmas. They're thinking about Christmas, bypassing Thanksgiving and going all the way to Christmas. Well, you know, I mean, if you can do that, it's more power to you, as they used to say back in the old days. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I believe the Chicago Cubs are playing today. They might be on as I speak, you know. I think they're going to be playing the New York Mets. Yeah, the New York Mets. They are either on as I speak, but don't turn me off to listen to them. Or, you know, whatever. Turn the sound down. They're either on as I speak, or they'll be on after I speak, after I get through with the radio show. And maybe we can catch some of that. Maybe. You know, it's not that there's always the highlights and the reruns and stuff like that. You know, so, hey, wow, welcome to the show. This is George Walter Jr. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Listen, 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 and listen some more. It costs you nothing. It costs me nothing. So, this is a show where you try to be informed about things that you are not informed about on a regular basis, you know, so. And it's a fun show. I like giving my opinions on everything there is, you know, and that's what makes it fun. I told one of my friends that if everybody agreed with me on everything that I've ever said or everything I do say, it would not be fun. It wouldn't be fun if everybody, I agree, George. George, I totally agree with what you're saying. George, I agree with it. It would be boring. It would be boring to me. There would be no discussion. There would be nothing, no debate. There would be no, you know, no fun. It just wouldn't be no interaction there, no back and forth if everybody agreed with what I say or if I agreed with what everything someone else say. I mean, there's a lot of talk shows that I listen to. Some of the guys that I look up to, actually, yeah, I disagree with them, you know, and there's nothing wrong with disagreeing. As long as you agree to disagree and disagree in a positive way, you know. And that's what life is all about. That's what this talk show is all about. I mean, give your opinion, comment. I may not agree with it, but I do respect you for giving your comment. I do respect you for saying it. I do respect you for being brave and have the courage to say it, you know, because a lot of people don't think. They do a lot of thinking, but they don't have the courage to say what they're actually thinking. So sometimes I may say something that someone may be actually thinking, but they will not say it. But usually when I say something, I say it for myself. I don't say it for other people because I don't know if other people are going to agree or disagree. I mean, I've had people really chew me out on some of the things that I say. But basically, everything I try to say, whether it's here or some social networking site, it's from the heart. I mean, it may not gel with some people, but that's fine. That's beautiful. That's why I say these things so I can get other people to respond. If you respond to something that I say, whether you like it or not, that's a good thing. That's a good telling me that you are responding, you doing something. Even the responder feels good about responding to something. Even if what they're responding to is something that they may disagree with. I hope I said that correctly. I don't know. It's but anyway, 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, out of the state of Illinois, which we still do not have a budget. And these guys are still not talking. What do we do? Where do we go from here? The state is going over a cliff, like I've said so many times before on this show and other places. It's just horrible. This is, it's not so much as there's no budget. It's just horrible that these guys who are in a position to, have a budget, to get a budget, to pass a budget, they're not talking to each other. They don't like each other. I can see why. But you have to think about the state. To me, and I'm thinking all around America, Illinois is probably the worst state that's in so much financial trouble and turmoil than any other state in America. You know, we don't have a budget. I believe we're the only state in America, Illinois, that does not have a budget. And we haven't had a budget for 4 months. 4 months. A lot of the programs have ceased. A lot of jobs have been lost because of it. Thousands and thousands of paychecks have not gone out because of it. there may be thousands and thousands and thousands of state workers, 60,000, laid off or without a paycheck. And without a paycheck, people are not going to work. You might find some people going to go to work for a paycheck, but most people aren't going to work. The state is going to go over a cliff, and these guys are just walking away, turning their backs on each other, turning their backs on this state. And you know what? No amount of talk, no amount of talk, no amount of begging, no amount of pleading, no amount of positive talk or accurate talk or anything is going to make these guys come back to the table and talk. Even some of the people in the legislature say, hey, let's get this over with. This is a damn shame. We got to get a budget. Let's get this over with. Somebody call a special session, get us all back in the legislature, and we vote on this. They can do that. They have been doing that. These guys have been voting on a budget for as long as there has not been a budget in Chicago, in the state of Illinois. But Bruce Rauner, the governor, refuses to sign it. And he, when the legislature gives him a budget, he doesn't sign it. How in the hell can you blame them for not having a budget when you do not want to sign it? Even ex-governors, ex-Republican governors are telling Bruce Rauner to stop the BS, stop destroying the state, and sign a budget. He will not do it. He will not do it. People are all downtown protesting, calling him every kind of name there is, screaming and yelling. It doesn't move this guy. All he's going to do is he's going to respond in some way, but every time he responds, he's putting the blame on someone else. You can't blame someone else for this for the state not having a budget for 4 months. You blame the governor, especially when the legislature has been trying to deal with this guy and deal with his snarky-ass people that he has around him. You know, but they're just nasty. I mean, he doesn't want a budget. He wants chaos. He wants to see turmoil, and that's what's going to happen if the legislature in Illinois do not come up with something and try to work around Bruce Rauner. I don't see them trying to work around him either. And they hold the majority in both houses in Illinois, but these guys are not trying to work around him. And I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. Bruce Rauner comes out blaming Michael Madigan. He comes out, Bruce Rauner comes out blaming John Cullerton. Bruce Rauner, he's not a politician. He's not a governor. He doesn't know how to govern a state. He never held a job before. This is his first time, and he's blowing it very badly. He is blowing this, you know, and not just in my view, but in a lot of Illinoisans' view. You know, and he's talking about making this a Republican state, and that's what he wants. He's going around right now throwing Democrats out of their jobs, out of their positions, out of some sensitive positions, and replacing them with Republicans. Although the people he's replacing, these are not so he can fire them and get rid of them. They're the elected seats, you know. So he's trying to do that. And I know why the legislature is not trying to override this guy. Because the legislature, they want a tax hike. And Bruce Rauner knows that. If the legislature overrides Rauner and passes a budget, and that budget has a tax hike, Rauner will do his best. He will have all the proof in that he would need to work against him, against the legislature, because they passed a tax hike, something he did not want. And he knows that the Illinois public, we don't want a tax hike. So he feels that if they pass a tax hike to try to get a budget, he's gonna unseat every one of them by using his money. He's got plenty of money to replace everybody in the legislature to replace every Democrat with a Republican. That's what he wants. He said, well, if you want to work around me, if you want to pass a budget, you can. You have the power. But if you pass a tax hike, I'm coming after you. And the Democrats are scared as hell. But they know that this state needs a tax hike in order for it to pay its bills, and Rauner doesn't want that. He does want it. He does want it because he's going to use that to unseat a lot of Democrats in the legislature using his money. Using his money. That is how he got in the office in the first place. Using his money, he bought his way in to the governorship in Illinois. And the second way that he got his ass in office, probably the most important way that he got his ass in office, is that people did not get out there and vote. 2014 was the lowest voter turnout that, I don't know, maybe some people are probably saying in the history of Illinois or in the around America, around the United States. It was a low voter turnout. That's why you have so many of these damn Republicans, governors, in some of these southern states where there's a high percentage of African Americans. I don't understand it because you know what? They did not vote, or they were hoodwinked, or their votes were suppressed in some way, because a lot of these governors in some of these states are repressing the vote, or they're making it harder for people to vote. And these guys get in office like that, and they wreak havoc people of those states. And I don't understand why the people of some of those states do not rise up against these clowns and throw their asses literally out of office. People just don't move. They don't move. They sit back and they take it. And when you sit back and take it, the bully is just going to keep kicking you because the bully knows that you're not going to kick back. And we have to do something. We are the people. We are the people. You just cannot sit back and do nothing. We need young people. We need old people. We need women. We need men. We need everybody to get out here and become excited about voting and throw these guys out. Throw these guys and girls out of office who are not representing us the way they were supposed to when they were elected. And a lot of times you have Republicans trying to run as Democrats just so they can get more votes because they know that there's more Democrats or liberals than there are Republicans. And I think some of that happens too. Because sometimes when you vote for somebody and they promising you the world, and once you elect them, they get into office, hey, they don't even know you no more. They've gone off on a tantrum of something. They've become bought off, you know, the corporations and the millionaires and the donors and the lobbyists buy them off, whereas they don't do what the people want them to do. They do what the people who are paying them. They're doing what they want them to do, not you and I, Q Public, John Q Public. We have got to rise up. We've got to stop letting these people step on us because that's all they're doing. They're putting their foot on us, and we're just laying down, taking it. Stop it. These are bullies. These are liars. We are many. They are few. We have the upper hand if we get our asses up and out and throw their asses out. But the best thing to do, I'm not advocating violence or anything, the best thing to do here is to vote. If you're not registered to vote, get registered. If you know someone that's not registered to vote, tell them that they should get registered to vote and to vote. I do believe that we are going to be emboldened in 2016. We have to be emboldened to get out there and use our vote people, so many people of history have died, fought. I know you heard this probably many times. I'm going to say it again. They died and fought for you, for every one of us to have the right to vote. You don't vote, you're disappointing them. I know some people treat their vote like, why should I vote? It ain't going to do nothing for me. It ain't going to bother me. It ain't going to accept me. Well, I don't need to be voting. I'm not voting. Yes, you do. And then you got people, well, my religion won't let me vote. I'm in religion. I can't vote. All of you guys are going to burn in hell, and we're going to still be alive, and I'm not going to vote because it's my religion. I think I've said something about that the other day on the show. If you think your religion is keeping you from voting and you're not involved in the world of politics, then maybe you should move out of the country. I mean, if you're not going to be an American citizen and think of this as a democracy, and you're not going to use your vote, and you can't stand a lot of things that's going on in this town, you don't want to be about it. I mean, there's a lot of countries out here that doesn't have a government. So if you're not of the government, I mean, you can move to a country where there's no government, where there's open carry, people out there carrying guns openly. You can go to a country where they don't vote. They don't have a democracy. They don't have anything. They don't have leaders or presidents or senators. I mean, they don't like it here. And if you don't want to vote, you want to get involved in the democracy here. I mean, catch a plane or ride a bike on out of the country. I'm pretty sure your religion would approve of that. Approve of that. But if you are in, my thing is, if you are in the United States, you're born here. You are obligated, in some cases mandated, to be a part of your government, to be a part of society. Vote. It's nothing. It's nothing to, voting will take maybe 5 or 10 minutes, you know, something like that. What the hell wrong with that? You're not going to die and burn in hell because you're casting a vote for somebody who just may be able to make your life a little bit better than what it is already. I don't understand it. I really don't understand why people, I mean, some people just say so gleefully that they're not going to vote. I don't want to say those people are stupid or dumb or anything like that, but something is not right. And if it's your religion or something that's keeping you from voting, or I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 6:24 straight up Chicago time. I think it's about maybe I'm going to say about 30 degrees outside or less, because it is totally cold. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. I'm going to take a break right here. I shall be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Thank you.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
I've had some people call into the show, or some people post, inbox me and say, George, you really like the blues, don't you? Not, you know, I don't call it blues. I call it a groovy type of a melody. And maybe I do. I'm a music lover. I love music. I'm a musician. I play guitar. I play piano, not too proficiently, but I do pick them up, pick it up every once in a while. I used to play piano really good. I used to draw. I used to draw a lot of people, and they thought I was good. I never really thought I was that good of a player. And yeah, I am a musician. I do love music. I love all types of music. I mean, just because you hear a couple of blues tunes or blues riffs or cuts or whatever on the show, I love all kinds of music. It doesn't matter. I mean, I can do Frank Sinatra. What can I say? Okay. And then I can do Herbie Hancock. You know, I love jazz. I think jazz is the most. And I'm so sorry. Speaking of music, if I can say a little bit about it, the music of today, okay, I'm old school, all right? The music of today, I mean, you got Miley Cyrus, Jennifer Lopez, some of these others, pop singers out there, you know them. There's a lot of them. But I just don't understand music of today. The music of today, and I'm going to say this, I think compared to music of yesterday, the music of today is garbage. I mean, if I want to listen to something, music, I'll go back 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago where music was music and not garbage. I mean, even the MTV Awards, I don't even watch that anymore because I think it's a big joke. I think it's a big joke, you know. Kanye West and all of this stuff is just, I mean, maybe call me old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy, or whatever you want, but I still love the old stuff. I think the old stuff is a lot better than some of the stuff that we have today. I don't go to as many concerts, musical concerts, as I used to go to because, I think some of them are just dirty and raunchy, and I don't need to see that, okay? I don't pay my money to go see a young, talented singer, female singer, half-dressed, singing a song or stripping up on stage, singing a song. I come there to hear some good music. I didn't come there to see some young lady take off her clothes, bend over, be vile. I did not come. If I wanted to see something like that, I probably would go to a strip club. And I don't. I think the music today has gone down the tubes really, really badly. Even radio. I mean, on the radio, you don't even hear good music anymore. I mean, from my estimate, you hear a lot of rap music, and basically a lot of this rap music is demeaning women. You know, some of it is a cause of crime. So I don't even listen to it. But I like rap music, but it has to be clean rap music, and it has to sound, and it has to really move me, okay? But the music of today compared to music of yesterday, you know, there is no comparison. Some of that stuff today stinks. I'm not going to lie, you know. My son listens to some of that stuff. And some of it is pretty good, and some of it, I hate to listen to some of the music because some of it has bad lyrics. I mean, all kind of bad words and curse words in the lyrics. And I mean, that is not what I grew up on. And I don't think that's what I want for myself. My son, he listens to it. I said, hey, don't use that stuff around here. Don't use that kind of language around here. I think he probably uses it around his friend, but he's not going to use it in front of me. But music today is not what it was yesterday. And that's a shame. I don't know. Some people saying that jazz is all but dead. Maybe. I don't know. Because you don't hear it on the radio. Then you have this Cyrus. What's the Cyrus radio or something? It's like cable radio where you have to pay to hear music. That's not going to happen here. Okay? That's not going to happen here. I am not a Beyonce fan. I'm sorry. You know, I'm just not. You know, Jay-Z, I am just not. I'm a Herbie Hancock fan. I like jazz. I like Pink Floyd. I'm totally Pink Floyd. You know, David Gilmour, Roger Waters. I mean, Eric Clapton, without a doubt. Without a doubt, Eric Clapton. I mean, he is super. But you know what? The guy has stated a few months ago, he said he's retired. He says he's done. He says, I quit. You know, I saw it on the video. And he said, I quit. You know, and you know what? He's 70-something years old, and he should. I mean, the guy is a millionaire, billionaire. Why keep tearing his body apart, traveling around, playing concerts, especially at that age when he doesn't have to? Live a little, you know, go places, see things. I mean, because when Eric Clapton was on the road, I mean, he was on the road for about, what, 50 years? I mean, he's been playing for a long time, in and out of other groups and stuff like that. And I think Eric Clapton is probably one of the best blues players around there. And he's white. He's British, I believe. Because some of his heroes were people who were born in the Mississippi Delta, such as Robert Johnson, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, and a few more of these guys, you know. So, but and he's played with these guys, B.B. King, you know, B.B. King just passed away. So yeah, plus I was also born in the Delta. At least I was told I was. I don't remember anything about it, but I was told that. And if I was, I'm proud of it, because maybe that's why. Maybe that's where I learned the blues from growing up, or just maybe it was just instilled inside of me, you know, instilled inside of me. All right. This is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Stay with me. Let me see what we got. Gun violence. We got so many clips here. All right. Be right back. Thank you. I just can't have you burn it. No, I'm expecting a guest. She's gonna come. She said she's gonna come to see me. But it was 6:34. I told her 6:30. She might be a little late, you know. So how was it outside? We're back. Okay, we're still on. Okay, I was moving.
disappointed that he was so fast the camera couldn't catch him.
All right, here we go. Wow, dead air. I'm sorry. All right, I think we had a little dead air there. Maybe this stuff is not working properly. Let me check it out. Okay, here is Bernie Sanders on gun control. And boy, do we need...
Which has virtually no gun control.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And yet I voted to ban certain types of assault weapons. I voted to close the gun show loophole. And I voted for instant background checks. And what I said is that we can continue screaming at each other,
mm-hmm.
or else we've got to find common ground.
Well, what is that?
Common ground is, for
it?
A start, universal instant background checks.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should have a gun who has a criminal background, who's involved in domestic abuse situations. People should not have guns who are going to hurt other people, who are unstable. And second of all, I believe that we need to make sure that certain types of guns used to kill people exclusively, not for hunting, they
mm-hmm.
should not be sold in the United States of America. And we have a huge loophole now with gun shows that should be eliminated. There may be other things that we have to do. But coming from a rural state, I think I can communicate with
mm-hmm.
folks coming from urban states where guns mean different things than they do in Vermont where it's used for hunting. That's where we've got to go. We don't have to argue with each other
right.
and yell at each other. We need a common sense solution.
There's no show.
All right, that was Bernie Sanders, and he was talking about gun control, and I do think we need gun control. And in my estimation, gun control is just universal background checks, keeping the guns out of the hands of the people who will harm us. That's my definition of gun control. It's not taking away your guns. It's not making it harder for you to buy guns. It's just keeping the guns, especially the assault weapons, out of the hands of the bad guys. I don't see why anybody should want to own an assault weapon. You know, especially in the cities. You know, I don't see why people would want to own assault weapons. But there's so many people against any kind of regulation of guns. You know, and I think we're gonna need that to stay alive in some of these cities. You know, gun control. People, you know, so many people are talking about gun control. Bernie Sanders talking about gun control. Hillary Clinton's talking about gun control. But the Republicans who are running for president, not one of them guys is mentioning gun control. And there's 17 of them running, right? And not one is mentioning gun control. But the Democrats in their debate, they talked a lot about gun control. At least it was one of the major issues up there. But the Republicans, I mean, if you contrast their debate with the Democratic debate, I mean, the Democrats won hand down because they talked about substance. There was no substance in the Republican GOP debate with Donald Trump. There was no substance there. None. Okay. Bernie Sanders won't take money. Oh, yeah. People have been, I mean, some of these corporations, big donors, you know, big businesses, they have been trying to throw money at Bernie Sanders. And he's just totally will not take it. And I don't blame him. Why should he take money from big donors when he's getting, when his money is coming from grassroots people? The grassroots people, ordinary people, voters, are the ones who are putting him over the top right now. However, the corporations, the donors, they're throwing money at him because they want to control him. They want to buy him off. And he does not want to be bought off. He will not be bought off. And I applaud him, Bernie Sanders, for not taking money. I totally applaud him. But the other guys, Hillary Clinton takes money. Okay, and she's proud of it. But she's probably going to need it. You know, but Bernie Sanders did not take money from corporations. He will not take money from donors and rich people and all of that because he knows that he will become a puppet. He will be bought off, and he doesn't want that. And I don't blame him, because most of the people in Congress, the U.S. Congress, they're bought and paid for, especially Republicans. If they're bought and paid for, they do what their donors and corporations tell them to do, not the ordinary people who put them in office. You know, so we are glad to hear that he will not take their money. And that's beautiful. That's great. And that's wonderful. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. That is my number. Glad you're listening. Glad you're out there. Glad you're calling in. It's just a wonderful time. It's cold in Chicago, though. I mean, it is nippy-dippy. But hey, we're above ground, so we have to be thankful for that. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's see what we have here. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hey, George, this is Rusty. I apologize. I'm calling in a little bit late. We were traveling today in Connecticut. I was speaking at a conference, so I apologize. How are you?
No problem. I'm fine. Let me do a little introduction. Okay, author, international radio host, radio talk show host, Rusty is an author of 2 books, co-author of 3 more, single mother, life coach, motivational speaker, and international radio host. Wow. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thank you for having me. I apologize again for being a little tardy, but it is freezing here, and I'm glad to hear that I'm sharing the same weather as Chicago.
Oh, yeah. It's you know what? It is cold. And, it feels like the start of winter, you know, and winter is a couple of months away, I think. And, I'm in my studio looking out of the window, and the poor people with coats on. I mean, what can you say? Okay. All right. Thanks for coming on the show.
For having me.
No problem. Rusty comes from a background of severe poverty, abuse, and has recreated her life after a messy divorce. Hey, we can talk. I have a messy divorce too.
Oh yeah, I had one and I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done too. You know what? I'm not done actually. I don't equate marriage to just one bad divorce. You know, it was just a bad thing for me, and I'm glad to be where I am now. You know, so it's over. Okay, Rusty. Okay, tell us something about yourself and what you do.
Oh, good gravy. I will have 9 books published by the end of next year. I'm working on a documentary called The 84%, and it's in reference to single-parent households. 84% of them are run by women, and 54% of that 84% are actually living well below the poverty line.
Uh-huh.
I get that, and how do we... how do we address those issues, and what are the causes and the effects on the children of America? It's a fascinating quandary. I am a celiac. I am a single mother, which is why the interest is there. I motivationally speak. I was in Hartford, Connecticut today speaking at gluten-free, allergy-free wellness event. And then Monday I'll be speaking to the Granite State Managers Association in regards to poverty in the Granite State and the causes.
Wow, great. Why do you do what you do?
I grew up in severe poverty in the South, and I always felt like there had to be somebody to speak for the people. And I was very concerned that resources were there, but people lost compassion and they lost sight of what they do for a living and in the helping servitude sort of way. And it's my calling. It's what I'm born to do.
Yeah, you. You know what? I get the feeling that you really do enjoy what you're doing. And,
I do.
And especially when you've gone through it, you have some experience, so you give you have that knowledge passed on to other people of the ravages that can become of it if they don't do something positive with their lives. And that's great, a motivational speaker, because that's one of the things I try to do is motivate people, because you got so many people who are depressed, you know, they want to take their own lives because things are not going right. And even I have authors on this show, even some of them, you know, sound a little bit depressed and out of it. And you have to try to motivate them to take charge of their own life. And you do enjoy what you do, right?
I love it. I live for it.
Yeah.
It's not easy to really express your life or the things that you've done or experienced
mm-hmm.
as publicly mm-hmm. and as openly. And I feel like my journey has been as such in order for me to be able to articulate and
mm-hmm.
be the voice of the people who have suffered or who are too afraid to really have that conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've gone through, I guess some people have gone through states of depression, states of stress, and stuff like that. I mean, life can really tear you apart sometimes, and sometimes you are so happy to hear that positive voice coming from another direction, telling you to, you know, that you can do it, you can make it. There's always a silver lining, you know.
And I think it's bigger than that. I think when
mm-hmm.
we are at our lowest of low or
mm-hmm.
really dealing with our tragedy, it's always nice to know that there's hope. And sometimes your voice
mm-hmm.
or sometimes your joke or sometimes your hug or sometimes your presence is that hope.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you don't have to actually have the conversation or try to coach somebody out of jumping off of a bridge. But maybe if you just sat
yeah.
there and had a cup of coffee with them,
Exactly. So I'm reading off your page here, questions. Okay. What inspired? Okay, it kind of kept me from generating some. Okay, what inspires you? What makes
what
you do what you
me?
Do?
I think it's because no matter after all the tragedy that I've gone through, after the abuse, the rape, being shot, living in severe poverty, living on the streets,
I've never, in
any way, shape, or form, wanted to hurt anybody.
Hmm.
Even the ugliest people who do those things, I find a way to be compassionate to them, trying to understand.
Was that a form of,
go ahead.
Was that a form of domestic violence, domestic abuse?
No, I was living on the streets when I was a teenager. It was a gang fight.
Okay. So you were homeless at one point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So was I. We have so much in common.
I know. I wish we were closer.
Yeah, but one of the things I want to say something about, one of the things about being
sure.
homeless, you do, when you're out there, you really do need motivating, because there are so many homeless people out there who have been out there for forever, for all their lives. And there's too few out there to actually pick themselves up off the streets and become a part of society again. Why do you think?
Well, I have experienced both sides of the equation, and that's what I'm speaking
mm-hmm.
to the state about on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And as a person who is having to navigate this world of being homeless, you kind of go, what do I do? Why did this happen to me? How did I fail? And all of this negative thought, all of this negative thinking, all of this sadness, this depression, this fear, and the grief. And it's very much a grieving process. And then
mm-hmm.
when you go to utilize resources or you find resources, most of the time they're really rude to you. And they make
mm-hmm.
you jump through so many hoops that you don't want to jump through them because you're just already depressed. So why
mm-hmm.
should I bother having to come back the sixth time to have this conversation when, you know, I'm already down and out? What more can you take away from me? It's like being raped. You know, you've
yeah.
been stripped of everything, your dignity, your physical privacy, the way you feel, and here comes somebody doing it again.
What motivated
you? And I think that's where people stay on the streets, because they just give up, because every time they turn around, another big shoe drops, another corner, you know,
yeah.
they get sideswiped with attitude and lack of compassion and just ridiculous stuff that's preventative and not helpful. What motivated me was because I wanted better, and I wanted to be better for
yeah.
other people.
Yeah, that,
because I
yeah.
knew that I had,
yeah.
I knew that this was what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, what motivated me to pick myself up off the ground, literally, was that I had so many enemies who wanted to see me there, and I
right.
told myself, I'm not going to give these people the pleasure. They've done this to me. I'm going to pick myself up. I'm going to get out of this. And I don't care how long it takes me, but I'm going to get out of this. I'm young. I'm strong. I'm motivated. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I can pick myself up off the ground. I'm not going to let them do this. And I didn't. I did just that. I picked myself up. I mean, I was homeless, but I, in a couple of years, I've pick myself up because I motivated myself, basically.
Well, you have to. You have to, you know, I don't know if you run or if you've ever boxed or done anything that's high intense like that, but you get to a certain point where your body wants to quit and your body hurts
yeah.
and it's burning and your muscles
mm-hmm.
are tense and stinging, and yet
mm-hmm.
you have to still move forward, because if you don't, you're going to go farther back than you ever imagined. And
yeah.
I think that's a huge part of being successful at any level. I don't care if you're a CEO, you know, you have to do that.
Yeah, and I think if you can pick yourself off the ground of being homeless, you are in a good place to help other people to do the same thing.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Okay, number three. What's next?
What's next? Boy, I think I covered that in the intro. Let's see.
Okay.
The documentary, the documentary is pretty important, I think, because
okay.
that demonstrates another facet of how our system effectively is what I call effectively ineffective, and it fails single moms. And so here are these kids that are raised in environments in which it is not necessary or intentional, but they also can get into this cycle of being self-defeated and choosing paths that they probably wouldn't have chosen if their mom was around more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you say it says here that you're the author of two books. Can you talk about those books?
The two books that have been published, one is called Women of Wisdom, and it's a mm-hmm. collaboration of women around the world telling their stories of inspiration, mm-hmm. motivation, and hope. So there's poetry in there. There is stories of death and anger and
mm-hmm.
pain and the metamorphosizing of just the human spirit. Simply Beautiful is also a book specifically designed to coach women in feeling beautiful inside and out and accepting their authentic self, which is very hard
mm-hmm.
for women to do, is to feel that they're authentically beautiful without some form of criticism.
Oh, that's nice. When you said Simply Beautiful, I recall a song title, Simply Beautiful, but that's another.
Yeah.
Is that where you got it from, a song title?
No, actually, I was invited to collaborate on that book as well.
Okay. Okay, on both books, do you have much input on the cover design?
I did not, actually. The cover on Women of Wisdom was done
uh-huh.
by one of the authors in the book, Shiloh, and she's amazing. She's she's art therapy, unraveled. She's just amazing. And then.
Okay.
I'm not sure how the Simply Beautiful cover came about.
Mm-hmm. So are your books on Amazon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see. You have something here that said change your thinking. How would someone change their thinking?
I think it's really, really important for people to
mm-hmm.
look deep inside themselves and change the way they think about themselves. And I know
mm-hmm.
I struggle with body image issues and confidence issues just like everybody else. So changing your thinking is very important to build yourself up and give yourself confidence so that you can be the successful person you're supposed to be in the world.
Oh, okay. All right. That was nice. on relationships, I mean, can you point to anything specifically on the relationships that you try to motivate people on?
As in lover relationships or just friendships?
A little both.
Okay. The one that would be cross-threaded would be ownership. Whose behavior are you owning? Are you owning your own behavior in that conversation, or are mm-hmm. you trying to have that person own your behavior? So really how you treat each other, whether you're a lover or a friend, enhances your relationship. And definitely having toxic people removed from your life is huge. Just cut all those cords. There's no need to have toxic mm-hmm. people in your life. You develop positive influences and your whole world opens up in a much brighter and amazing way. I've let go of a lot of relationships since my divorce, and I have accumulated so many wonderful people that never would have entered my life if I didn't let go of the toxic relationships that I had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. What is some of the positive critiques that you've got on what you do? I mean, what do people say that's positive about what you do?
People like me because I'm down to earth and I don't really hold a lot at bay. Today, for example, people were very excited because I told them to fire their practitioner. You know, you have choices, and we're not raised or taught in a society that we actually have choices, but we do. And especially when it comes to your own health care, whether it's mental, physical, or spiritual, you need to have the right person taken care of and owning and honoring your wishes, whatever that means to you. And if you don't feel like that's happening, then you need to fire that person and get to where you need to be so that you live a happy and fulfilled life.
Do you consider yourself as being an advocate?
I call it the warrior child. I have a warrior child in me that definitely fights for people. I see more of myself as kind of a spider in a web, and I'm collecting all of these beautiful corners and glistening web pieces and building them into something beautiful and community. I think we need to step back and really get back to community and get away from the fear-based thinking that we have developed. Reality TV shows and things like that, I think just feed people, make them feel like they have to be afraid of everybody else. And I grew up in the South, and when you moved into a neighborhood, you get that nasty green jello with a marshmallow topping from your neighbor, you know. And they'd always welcome you to the neighborhood, whether they liked you or not, or whether they were being nosy or not. That's just the way it was. Nobody does that anymore. So there's this loss of community, this loss of faith, this loss of connectedness. And
all right.
I want that back.
Okay. What is the worst criticism you've ever gotten for what you do?
That I'm a bull in a china shop, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm strong. I'm a very strong person. So I think sometimes that doesn't resonate with everybody.
We all get negative criticism.
Oh, yes, sir, we do.
Something.
And, you know,
everybody does. I always say if someone agreed with me on everything that I say or everything that I do, that it would be boring. It's great to get, you know, other sides to things instead of always being positive, you know, and which is good. Always being positive is good, but you can't please everybody. There's going to be somebody out there that's going to criticize what you do, even if it's what you're doing is a good thing, you know, because people are going to be people, you know. So that's the way I feel about it. And like I said before, if everybody agreed with me or everything that I've said or everything that I've done, it would be boring because I'm the type of guy, I like debate. Okay, if you disagree with me, if you think that's not good, then tell me why. Don't just disagree with me and just walk away. Let me know what you're thinking because you may be right, you know. So that's the way I see it. Do you see it that way or is it different? Or
I think at first because of the way I was raised and the way I lived my life, it was very sensitive, and I felt like I was going to attack my person. And as I grew, I realized that, you know, I'm not going to make everybody happy. There's going to be people,
right.
these people
not.
Who have
right.
criticism.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that I don't resonate with. And
yeah.
when I came to that realization, I was very pleased because now mm-hmm. I can be like, cool, there's somebody that is going to make you happy somewhere else. And it's
yeah,
not me,
yeah.
and I'm good with that because I'm limited on time anyway.
Okay, tell us where we can find your book, where we can find your website, if we want to get in touch with you, how will we do that?
Oh,
your books are...
Mm-hmm. That would be great. Thank you so much, George. My website is www.rusty, R-U-S-T-I-E,
mm-hmm.
MacDonald, M-A-C, capital D-O-N-A-L-D, .com. My radio show is blogtalkradio.com/Rusty, R-U-S-T-I-E. And you can keep up with all my wild and crazy events that way. And if you want to sign up for my newsletter, feel free to do so. My Twitter exchange is rusty.mac. And it's been exciting, and the more the merrier. So I appreciate the time with you tonight, George, and to meet your audience.
And to I'm in thought about meeting you, a Blog Talk sister. You know, so
yes,
so
sir.
To speak.
And,
because you know, I've been doing this for almost a year and a half, and I find it exciting. I really do. Being a radio host, and I wanted to talk to you about that before we can go. So,
okay.
What are your feelings about being a radio host? What do you think of it? Do you love it? Do you like it, or what?
Well, in college, I actually used to host a radio show, and I DJed, mm-hmm. and it was fun, and I had a lot of, you know, fun doing that, and it was music and
uh-huh.
poetry and Mad Hatter kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and when I became divorced, I wanted to get back to my community and find a way to have servitude without actually taking physical time,
mm-hmm.
and I started a radio show. So
how long have you been
from
on the
that, 4 years. 4 years,
oh, okay.
and
right.
275,000 international listeners, and I've met some
wow.
incredible people, and
mm-hmm.
You never know what happens out there in the virtual land, so
mm-hmm.
I just embrace it and accept it, and I think it's beautiful.
Okay, now for myself, I've hosted the show for about a year and a half, and I've never been a guest on another person's show. I've always had
Why?
Guests on this show. I don't know. Maybe it's the, I don't know,
out.
Maybe it's, yeah, yeah, I've got to do that. I've got to do that. I'm just so busy. I've never been, I've listened to a lot of other radio shows on Blog Talk Radio, but I have no problem getting on those shows, I'm pretty sure, but I just have never done it so far. I'm pretty sure I will reach out sooner or later.
Absolutely, and that's where you connect and meet with new people and new members of the audience,
yeah.
because as I said before, you never know where you're the hope for somebody else. So maybe
yeah.
you come on my show and
mm-hmm.
you share your story, and somebody that's in my audience hears your story and you inspire them
yeah.
to make a change. You
okay.
never know where you're
All
hope
right.
for inspiration, you know?
Yeah.
So do it. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Okay, so you say you've written 2 books. How would you inspire other authors and other writers to write their conscience, to write their own book, and to keep motivated being a writer?
You just write. And one thing that I was
okay.
told when I was growing up is that I should never write, and I should never be a writer,
mm.
and that grammatically
yeah.
I'm incorrect, and
yeah.
I'm impulsive, and my flow doesn't work, and just all of this criticism, and I didn't, but I always wanted to. And with encouragement and inspiration from my life coach, I just started writing. And editors do editing things, and that's what their job is. And I put my thoughts down, and that's awesome. It's like, you know.
Yeah, it is awesome.
You can plan your house, but you're not
mm-hmm.
necessarily a plumber. So really owning that and being okay with the fact that you can't be great at everything.
Yeah. I've dealt with publishers, and I decided to self-publish because you know why? I want to be in control of my books and ebooks.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want it in their hands anymore because sometimes it just didn't work out good. Period. You know, it just didn't work out good. All right, Rusty McDonald, thank you for being on the show. You have been great. You've been wonderful. I will check out your show and check out your books and check out what you're doing, and we will stay in touch. Thank you for being
on
the show.
Thank you so much, George. I appreciate it. Have a great night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, that was Rusty McDonald, sister Block Talk Radio host. That was great. That was wonderful. Okay, we're going to take a break right here. I shall be right back. Thank you very much. All right, let's see if we can go up here and do something. All right, here we go. Be right back. Stay with me, everybody.
Say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like the people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say-so in what happens with this.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on LaSalle Street.
All right, that was a rally against the governor of Illinois. That was a rally against Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner, of the governor of Illinois. Okay? Like I was saying before, this guy does not care about Illinois. In some cases, I really don't think he likes I don't think he likes Illinois. I've said this in a million times in some posts that I'm posting, that this guy doesn't like Illinois. How can someone like Illinois if you shutting it down for 4 months without a budget and don't give a damn about what's happening to the people or what's happening to this state? It's not just only the people, it's this state. He doesn't care, because if he cared, he would hear the call of so many other politicians, so many Democrats and Republicans telling him to get up off his ass and dig this state out of the mess that he put it in. But he won't do it. He won't do it. Bruce Rauner is not a people person. His poll numbers are in the gutter in the state of Illinois, as well as they should be. They should be there. They should be lower than that. But this guy will not this state from the chaos that he's putting it in. He wants, I've said this 1,000 times, I'm probably going to say it 1,000 more until we get out of the mess that we're in. One of my jobs is to help these guys dig this state out of the mess that they put it in. You know, because if you're listening to the show, and I hope you are, and in some cases I know you are, fight for this state. Fight for your state. If you're listening in Illinois, fight for Illinois. Fight for it. Don't sit back and let this guy do this. Don't sit back and let the state legislature in Illinois just let this state just crumble, because that's what it's doing. Share this radio show, host. I'm not looking for publicity. I'm not looking for fame. I'm looking to try to take this state up out of the gutter. I live here. You live here. And if you live in another part of the country, I mean, support us. We need support here in Illinois, because we got a rogue governor that doesn't care nothing about the state and taking it overboard. I mean, how many times can I say that? A million, a trillion? If need be, that's what's going to happen here. People are protesting. I mean, he is a guy that's totally not like. He's tried to spin and smile his way out of this, but there is no way he can spin and smile his way out of throwing this state over the cliff purposely, because he can't, they won't let him bust unions and give him workmen's comp. He wants to destroy collective bargaining. He thinks by getting rid of electing, Bruce thinks by getting rid of collective bargaining, he thinks he's doing something for the people. He thinks he's doing something for the workers. Busting unions. He thinks that he wants to get rid of unions. He thinks that's going to be a positive for the workers of the state of Illinois. He's delusional. The guy is totally, it's funny because he's warped. What can I say? Anybody who wants this state to just crumble to the ground is warped. Anybody who doesn't love this state and cares for this state is warped, and Bruce Rauner is warped, because the reason why I say he doesn't love this state, he doesn't like it, because he's not doing anything to make it better. He's not doing anything to make it better. He's constantly trying to blame other people for his messes. He's the governor. He's the president. He's the overseer of Illinois. He gets the blame. Trying to blame Michael Madigan, trying to blame John Cullerton and other people in the legislature is not voting well with the American, with the Illinois public, with Illinoisans. Of course, I do think Michael Madigan has stayed in the damn legislature too long, 40 years. He's an old, old, craggly man. Of course he should retire. I think John Culleton should be replaced, but I do think they should be replaced with Democrats, not Republicans, Bruce. And in some cases, I am glad that these guys are standing their ground. Because if they didn't stand their ground and gave in to Bruce Rauner, we'd be in big trouble. But still and all, by standing their ground, this is also taking the state over a cliff that nobody seems to try to want to avoid. I don't know. I really don't. I keep saying I don't know, but I do know. We need to stand up against this bully because he doesn't give a damn about this state. He shows his face every now and then around here. The thing about it, there's nobody walking with him. There's nobody talking with him. If people come up and shake his hand, they're looking at him real grimly. They're not smiling because they know that the state is in deep, deep doo-doo, and he will not do his job in pulling the state back over from the cliff. He's letting it fall. And then after it falls, and when it falls, he does what? Blame someone else for it. This man, I don't know. Like I said before, he's never held any governmental office. In my estimation, he doesn't know how to govern. He's not a people person. He's not people oriented. It's my way or the highway. He cuts and demands. That's it. And then he comes out smiling to the smile. He's ugly both inside and out because of this. Because of this. People are protesting. People are suing him. He's got suits. I mean, his poll numbers are in the gutter. Some people saying it's 34%, 37%. Some people saying it's lower than that. At any rate, if it's below 40%, he's in trouble in this state. And he's not only Bruce Rauner, the governor Bruce Rauner, is not only making trouble for himself, he's making trouble for other Republicans too. They may have a hard time getting elected or reelected because of his actions or no actions at all. See, he's probably, in some ways, hurting his own party. Because there are so many Republicans out here saying, Bruce, stop the BS and pass a budget. Get Illinois a budget. They've been without a budget. We have been without a budget for 4 months. Do you want to go into a fifth month without a budget? And all that's going to do is make things a lot worse in Illinois. In some cases, Bruce Rauner has made things harder to get. Things that used to be very, very elementary or very easy to obtain, this guy has made it so hard to get. I mean, if you want to apply for some social program or anything that's social, it's hard to get. I mean, it's not as easy. So therefore, by it being hard to get, a lot of people will not be able to access it or obtain it because he's made it rougher to have. He is wreaking havoc on the state. You got a lot of people out here who can't read or can't understand or can't put two and two together. I mean, they need assistance, but he is making it hard and harder for them to get the things that they need from the state. Point blank, the guy is just not paying his bills. That's like you not paying the light bill or the gas bill or your cable bill or your phone bill. This guy, his bills, he's not paying the state's bills and he doesn't give a damn. He is not doing it. We have to do something. We cannot sit back, relax, take it in, take it easy, drink a beer, smoke a cigarette, get laid. Get up, get out, and take back your state. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing than anything else, because if you don't have a state, you can't do all of those good things that you want to do. First things first, take this state back from Bruce Rauner. And then you'll be comfortable in your skin or whatever you're doing to do what you got to do, because this state has been reclaimed. Get involved. Vote. We cannot repeal him because it's not on the books. But maybe we can find a way to fire him for not doing his job. Even he said at one point, he said, he told the legislature, he said, let me do my job. As if the legislature was stopping him from doing his job. Nobody's stopping him from doing his job. He's stopping himself from doing his job. He's the one who has not signed a budget. So many budgets have been placed on his desk from the legislature, and he refused to sign it. Every time they try to come up with a budget, he's going to say he's going to veto it. So why were they coming up with the same budget when he's not going to sign it? Why? Because there's no provisions in the budget that's going to allow him to bust unions, to get rid of unions. He is dead fast on getting rid of unions. You say, give me unions, let me bust unions, let me take away the unions, and I'll feed everybody, and I'll sign a budget. Republicans, they love holding people hostage, and it's just wrong. It is just wrong. So we have to do something. We can't sit around and let this happen, because if we let this happen, Bruce Rauner is going to wreak more havoc on this state and on the people of this state. So, you know, this is terrible. This is bad, but this is true. This is so true. And this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, just about off the air. And, you know, I'm ranting again. But I want to thank Rusty McDonald. She's great. If you listen to Blog Talk Radio, listen to her. And, you know, so, and I may be on a show one day, you know. So watch out for that. It could happen. All right, I'll be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. Okay. Eat! Wow, I want to thank Rusty McDonald, international radio show, talk show host, for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Rusty is an author. I'm going to read this again. This is from her page, and I hope you go check it out, listen to the show, and go check it out. Rusty is an author of 2 books and co-author of 3 more. She's a single mother, life coach, motivational speaker, and international talk show host. And she is my sister in radio hosting on Black Talk Radio. So, excuse me. If you're listening to our show, I might just go by and just decide to be a guest on the show. All I got to do is call in, okay. Right? So let me read a little bit more about Rusty. Rusty comes from, okay, someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds. Okay, Rusty comes from a background of severe poverty, abuse, and has recreated her life. That's something. When you can come from down, being trampled on, to being an international radio show host. That is something. I mean, that's beautiful. It's great when people pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It is great. Don't let anybody keep you down. We're going to talk about that again a little bit tomorrow. Don't let anybody keep you down. You know, I mean, pick yourself up. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I will be back here tomorrow. So you guys, oh, wow, you stay tuned for that. I mean, it's been a great show. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. And we're just about off the air. Thank you, everybody.
After decades of ignoring or delaying.
Wrong clip. Bye.